So I mentioned that this is not my favorite scripture passage. It has come to the forefront in my life often in the last 29-ish years. And my 29th anniversary is in September, so there's the correlation of the 29 years. But you know, when we were first married, and we had the two kids, and I was working a lot, and we made the decision early in our married life that when the kids were home, that we were blessed enough to be able to afford Roshen to be able to stay home and to work part time or to do in home businesses to try and piece together income so that she could be home with the kids. And so we made that decision. And so I was working a fair amount. I'd work all the overtime I could get. I was just trying to make ends meet in the household. And I would come home from work and I'd come in the door and I'd find Roshen sitting on the floor with both kids on either side and toys scattered everywhere, and the house was a disaster. And it was super frustrating to me, because how could she be home all day and just play with the kids? Give me a break. I'm killing myself here. Right? You see, I tend to be a little more like Martha than like Mary. Right? The play, sitting with the kids and that stuff, that comes after the work is done for me. The work has to be done first. Let's get this stuff done. And Roshen is like, meh. That stuff will be there when I'm done. These kids are only little for this long. Right? You think Jesus would tell her she had chosen the better way? Still frustrated the junk out of me. I have a lot to learn. Us Marthas have a lot to learn from the Marys of the world. Right? And this story in Scripture has come back in my life again and again and again, because once a Martha, always a Martha. Right? I am not getting over being a Martha. I still am wired that way. I'm still concerned about the details and things. Just this last, when were the Tonys? May? March? The Tony Awards? And there, early June, she decided she was going to throw. We've been in community theater for years and years. We did community theater for 10 years, and then Roshen and Tricia stayed in theater while Tricia was in school. And we're kind of theater buffs. We love live performances. And so the Tonys can be kind of a big deal in our house. And this year, Roshen decided she was going to throw a party, invite Tricia and her friends to come to our house to watch the Tonys together, and then we could have fun watching the award show. And so she decided that she was going to make a snack that identified with each of the five musicals that were nominated for Best Musical this year. So there were five different kinds of things, and there were tablecloths and glittery things and all sorts of stuff, right? So on the Tonys come on Sunday, right? So I come home on Sunday after church. We get home from church, and she went shopping, and I decide that if I'm going to have company, the house is dirty. The house needs to be cleaned. So I get about dusting and vacuuming and cleaning up, and I didn't know who was staying or if anybody was staying, so I'm neatening all the bedrooms and trying to make sure that we're ready for company, and I get home, and I'm cleaning from the back of the house to the front, and I get to the living room, and I haven't dusted yet, and she's throwing a tablecloth over the very thing that I need to dust, right, and I need to vacuum, and she's throwing glittery things around, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm getting ready for the party." I said, "Well, at the moment, you're putting lipstick on a pig." Like, I need to dust and vacuum. She goes, "Why would you need to dust that? I'm just going to cover it up with a tablecloth anyway." Lord have mercy. Right? We are just not wired the same way. Right? I am much more like Martha than like Mary. And thank God my wife is much more like Mary than like Martha. It creates some balance in our life. She reminds me often to put that thing down. Just let that thing go. Will you just spend time with me? Will you just relax and sit down with us? Let's play a game. Just play a game. Right? She has grounded me in that way in my life. And thank God we're both not Marys, or we wouldn't be able to walk through our home. But in this story in Luke's Gospel, Martha is more worried about preparing the meal for her guests than she is about simply enjoying her guests. Mary seems to understand that the time she has to be with Jesus is more important than the appearance she puts on for Jesus. While Martha scurries around tidying up the house, setting the table, and putting on the meal, Mary is content to sit at Jesus' feet, giving her house guest, the Messiah, her undivided, undistracted attention. When Mary expresses her irritation with her sister, who isn't helping at all, Jesus says to her, "My dear Martha." It could just as well say, "My dear Chad." "You are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." In Vacation Bible School this year, we talked about being shipwrecked by our worry, and that when we are worried, Jesus is there for us. Jesus rescues, right? Is that what you're supposed to say? When you're worried,
Jesus rescues.
See, these young people learned something in Vacation Bible School, right? I've never really thought that I needed to be rescued from my worry. But in this story, in Luke's gospel, that is exactly what Jesus does. He rescues Martha from her worry by pointing her toward what he calls the better way. "Just relax, sit down here and spend time with me. That is why I've come," Jesus says. Last week, Pastor Janet shared some definitions and some synonyms about the word rescue. The definition she offered is to free or deliver from confinement, violence, danger, or evil, to rescue. Of the things from which Martha needed to be rescued or delivered by this definition, I think the best description here is confinement. She was hemmed in or tangled up by her concern over the details and appearances. She could not free herself to be present with Jesus until she thought that she and her home were in a condition acceptable for Jesus. Gosh, it's so me. Good Lord, how many of us either find ourselves in this place or know someone else who has put off being in relationship with Jesus until they can get themselves together enough to be a fitting host for Jesus Christ. We'll get back to that later. All of us who scurry around trying to pin down the details in life over spending time with Jesus need to be rescued from ourselves. I am reminded of this phrase, "The devil is in the details." And if that is the case, then perhaps Jesus is also rescuing Martha from evil in this story, from distraction. The devil, the enemy, Satan, the tempter, whatever you want to call that force which draws us away from Christ, loves it when we are distracted by the details. That's where the enemy does the enemy's best work. In our distraction. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We just prayed this morning. But how many of us see details as evil? How often do we allow the details to consume our energy or distract us from the real purpose for which we have gathered? When we leave worship, are we concerned with having spent time in community and all the ways that God has been present in the Holy Spirit here? Or are we distracted and annoyed by the things that weren't just as we thought we would like them to be? "That hymn wasn't my favorite. That song we sang this morning, I don't like that one." Right? "The band was too loud. The drummer, what is the point of that in church?" Right? "Or the chancel decorations weren't all in the right place, or that light bulb was out. How can we let that happen? Or God forbid the minister should be wearing jeans in the pulpit on a Sunday morning." And the list goes on and on and on. Are we more concerned about spending time with the holy, or are we concerned about the things that distract us from being present with the holy? And who is working in the distractions? I've heard weekly worship described as a series of 52 special events in the life of the church. This is to say that we should consider weekly worship highly enough to prepare for each worship service just as we would a big event at the church, because it is a big event. If you think about it, there aren't many other more important things that we do than worship together on a weekly basis. I don't disagree. In fact, the Martha in me thinks this is a great philosophy for doing ministry together. However, once worship begins, all the preparation has to be set aside so that we are freed from the details enough to just experience God's holy presence. Now, to be fair, there is a tricky balance in this thinking. There are a number of steps in preparing for worship that are intended to remove distractions from the service so that you all are free to worship. We have talked about the elements of worship, the order in which they're done, and the purpose of them, and the ways that we should transition from one element of worship to the other element of worship so we don't create distractions in the service. We have to do the work of creating excellent worship. God deserves our best. But when the worship begins, we have to let the preparation and the planning stand on its own so that we can just experience God in this space. Worrying about whether or not we are ready to be with Jesus does nothing but distract us from his presence once we begin to worship him. And I am convinced that Jesus is more concerned with whether or not we worship than he is with our planning and our preparation and all the details. When we come together and raise our hands and our hearts and our voices in praise of God, God just wants to hear. Doesn't care about the order or the organization or the mistakes or the things that go well or the things that don't go well. Just as God is just pleased to have our voices raised together. God is pleased by the fact that we form community and come together in love. Return to the Bible story that we started with this morning and dig a little deeper. I have confessed that I am wired a bit more like Martha than I am like Mary. And as I try to identify with the characters in this story, I think Martha might not have been immediately receptive to Jesus' answer to her problem. Right? This isn't fair. I'm doing all the work. Look, I can do all. She's just sitting here with you, and I'm doing all the work. Make her help me. She has chosen a better way. What? How is this a better way? There's so much to be done. I'm going to be all day getting all this stuff done. She's going to sit there on her duff. How can that be a better way? Can you hear Martha's inner struggle? Maybe she didn't openly argue with the Savior of the world. I might not. But in my head, I know I would. This guy's loopy. What's he going to eat? Somebody's got to cook. Right? I don't think Martha was convinced that Mary was right. She complained about not getting help that she needed, and Jesus just said, don't worry about it. You're worried and upset over these details. Slow down. Take in the moment. Just sit here and enjoy being our guests. Well, if everybody just sits down and enjoys you being your guest, you're all going to be hungry. Jesus was not concerned about that. In fact, Jesus did know that his time, well, none of us knows if or when we will be together again. Right? Jesus, in fact, did know that his time with his friends was short. But in this life, none of the rest of us are guaranteed another visit, another party, another family reunion, another dinner, another card game, another boat ride. Life is unpredictable and in some cases, short. I think Mary did choose the better way. Last week, a friend of many of ours, Nick Delaney, was in a fatal car accident, 38 years old. Someone we shared camp with for years, someone who was director at Lake Michigan Camp for a number of years. Someone who devoted his life to Jesus Christ. He was a shining example for God. And in an instant, he he was gone. He leaves a wife and children and a family and countless friends behind. There is nothing that keeps this from being me or one of my children or you or one of yours. Accidents and illnesses are a result of living outside of paradise, and they happen. The lesson in Luke's story about Mary and Martha and one of the lessons in Nick's way too sudden passing is that being present with Jesus and with each other is more important than all the details we can get mired up in. Jesus rescues us from the details so that we can be free to experience those things that are more important, God's holy presence in our lives and our presence with one another. God is present with us in an individual level in worship and prayer and spiritual practices like fasting and meditation. And we should take the opportunities we have to do those things. And God is present with us also in community and in relationships that we have one with the other. Therefore, Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves because when we do, we are sharing the love of Jesus Christ. We are spending time in the moment. When I put down the duster and put the vacuum in the cupboard and let it go and sit down and be with people, I am sharing in fellowship with Jesus Christ. There's time to vacuum. There's time to plan. There's time to get things done. We don't always have time to be together again. We should do our very best in preparing to be with Jesus, but we cannot allow worry over the details of preparation to become distractions themselves. We have to learn to lay down the fastidious details of life for the experiences life affords us to be with God and with others. We cannot know how many more experiences this life has in store. I want to return to a moment to the thought I shared earlier, how many of us either find ourselves or know someone else who has put off being in relationship with Jesus until they can get themselves together enough to be a fitting host. And we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's an intimidating thought to some people to have Jesus live within them. I'm not ready. I can't. There's no way. I have things to do. I have parts of my life I have to clean up before Jesus can even. We haven't even think about Jesus living in here. You know, in that mindset, we completely miss the boat. When we invite Jesus into our lives, Jesus does the cleaning for us. Jesus gives us the strength and the power to rid ourselves of the things that are in between us, that are in the way. If you know someone who's waiting till they get it all together to invite Jesus into their life, tell them to stop waiting. Tell them that they're getting it all together is an uphill climb without God in their life. Tell them to let go. Tell them that they will be welcome here even if they don't have all their stuff together, that none of us do. We're just trying to work it out. You know, when we present this polished up, cleaned up, all together kind of person, when we are focused on the details and not on Jesus Christ, and that's the Christian that we show this person that's waiting, we don't do them any favors. When we show them the vulnerable person who needs Christ in their life every day, there's a window, there's a door. Oh, hey, you need Jesus too? Yeah, real bad. I was in the hospital the other day. A guy had a shirt on and it just said the word believe right here on the shirt. And I said, what am I supposed to believe in? He said, well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We need him in case we die. When we die, we're going to go to heaven. And I said, yeah, I'm with you, but I need him right here, right now, today. I need to be saved for myself right here, right now, every day. Yeah, I know Jesus is in my life, I'm going to heaven, I get that. But I think it's more than that. Don't worry. Be happy. Happy that Jesus cares less about the details than we do. And there are no details that Jesus can't either help us manage or handle for us. What Jesus wants for us is enough space in our lives, apart from the details, that we can remember who controls the details in the first place. He wants for us to have peace and confidence enough in God that we can let go of the things we try to control for ourselves. Don't worry. God has things all under control. I'm going to close with a current, invite the praise team to come close with a phrase that they're using on the radio station that I am listening to. It's two short sentences, and they hit me in the gut every time I hear them. It says, you can worry, or you can trust God, but you can't do both. Amen.